Go ahead and get your Bibles out. Now I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, Psalm 103. And when you get to Psalm 103, I want you to put a marker there. We will read from there first, but I want you to turn to another portion as well. Psalm 103, and then turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 6. We're going to begin with Psalm 103, the first three verses. It says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who heals all your diseases. Luke chapter 6, and I want us to read just a few verses there as well. Let's start reading at verse 17 of Luke chapter 6, and it says this: And he, talking about Jesus, came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they who were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him, and he healed them all. Healed them all. Psalm 103 said, who heals all your diseases. And here is Jesus, power is coming out of him, and he's healing them all. And I want to speak with you just for a few minutes this morning on the subject of Jesus, our healer. Jesus, our healer. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, humbling myself before you, for I am in need, Lord, of your anointing, your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be able to relay to the people which you have placed on my heart to share. I do ask that, most importantly, that our eyes would not be fixed on man in any way, but in Jesus Christ alone. And so bless our time together, and bless the preaching of your word. And everyone said, amen and amen. Psalm 103 was written by King David. And King David was given promises by the Lord himself. Many of those promises would come to pass in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus would be called the Son of David. And the whole Davidic covenant was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And King David, inspired by the Holy Spirit in many of the songs that he wrote about the many benefits that the child of God can enjoy. You, as a child of the living God, are not left hopeless. You are not left alone, an orphan. But instead, you as a child of the living God have a Father that will never forsake you and will always be there for you, no matter what you will go through in your life. And David, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, writing this song, and I would encourage you to read the whole psalm later on, for it's filled with beautiful promises for the child of God. He said not to forget all of his benefits, and many benefits can be had and enjoyed by all of us. God has called us to enjoy our lives. Did you know that? God wants us to enjoy our lives. He's not called us to live a humdrum kind of life or just exist here in the world. Just there feeling like, oh, I just better be so holy and so straight. I can't enjoy anything. I can't even have pleasure. I can't do anything. Did you know that God wants you to have pleasure? God wants you to laugh. God wants you to enjoy your life. And the psalmist said here, don't forget all of his benefits. There are so many things that God has had for you. And one of the greatest freedoms to enjoy is the fact that he said all of our sins or all of our iniquities have been forgiven. I want you to say forgiven. When you came to Jesus Christ and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, all of our iniquities were forgiven. That means that you and I don't have to come to God feeling guilty and feeling down. We can come into His presence rejoicing in the forgiveness that is ours. Another psalm says that all of our iniquities have been taken away as far as the east is from the west, and as far as the heavens are above the earth, so far has He removed our iniquities from us. To that I say, praise the Lord. We are a forgiven people, and we've been washed by the blood. And the Bible here is saying, don't forget all of His benefits. He's forgiven you of all your iniquities. And so we must understand our forgiveness and walk like forgiven people. You know, I remember hearing stories, you know, about some of the Roman Catholic friends, some of the even more hardcore, los penitentes or whatever. And some of them would do something wrong and they'd get cords or whips and begin to beat themselves. And I'm telling you what, God doesn't want you to live your life beating yourself up for the wrong that you've done. If you've come to Him and you've asked for forgiveness, the blood of Jesus has wiped the slate clean. You don't have to beat yourself up anymore. You are forgiven. Sometimes within the church, we get the mistaken idea that if we did something wrong and we ask God for forgiveness, God won't forgive us until we've had a bad day. And then after we've had our bad day, then we can finally receive His forgiveness. No, we need to learn that the grace of God is there to help us to get up. Amen? To square our shoulders, hold our head high, and enjoy the benefits that He's given to us. And this psalm will relay to you and me many, many benefits. But another one that is described, not only has He forgiven all our iniquities, the Scripture says that He has healed all our diseases. He has healed all of our diseases. What are you talking about, Pastor James? Are you talking about divine healing? Well, yes. Jesus, through what He did for us on that cross, has afforded to you and me healing. But not only is it talking about physical healing, it's talking about the healing that we need in every aspect of our lives. For at times we do grow sick and we pray, oh God, I need physical healing, and God can and will heal us. Amen. But there are times when we need God's healing in our lives in other ways. Maybe we've been hurt and we've been carrying pain in our hearts. And although physically healthy, we're hurting on the inside. And I'm here to tell you that God is our healer. And whatever you may be going through, even if it's a broken heart, I'm here to tell you that if you will come to God and humble yourself before Him and seek Him with all of your heart, He is able to heal you. There have been times that we have been hurt in ways by family or friends, by our husband or our wife. We have been through things and we wonder, oh God, can You do it? But I'm here to tell you that God is able to heal you because He said He would. It's God's promise to you that He is able to heal you. And when you come to God and you come to Him believing, God is able to heal not only physical bodies, He's able to heal circumstances. He's able to heal broken hearts. He is able to heal broken relationships. He is able to do amazing things in a person's life. For you see, healing goes beyond many things than just our physical frame. Sometimes we just need healing because we've been hurt by a former pastor. Amen? And I'm not meaning literally. I'm just saying sometimes people get hurt in church too, and we need healing. Amen? The psalmist, or King David here, brought out not only the forgiveness of sin and iniquity, but the fact that He is able to heal all of our diseases. And as we read in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus came in on the scene, And when he began his public ministry, one of the immediate things that began to happen that brought attention to his ministry was divine healing. Many people in that day were hurting, and sometimes only the wealthy could afford the doctors of the day, and so many, many were sick. Sometimes they would try to just handle it for a season, many times paying for it with their lives. But many people in Jesus' day began to hear about a healer, and they began to hear about his name called Jesus. And if you or I were in that day, and we were sick and we were hurting, and we began to hear that many people were getting healed, I can guarantee you, you, along with me, would have ran to those crowds, and we would have sought Jesus just like they did. For they were seeking him for healing, seeking him to begin to mend the things that the Roman Empire had brought upon them. The fact that their physical bodies were broken and hurting with so much labor. They were crying out to God, and now the answer to their prayers was among them. And his name was Jesus. And in this portion of Scripture, what I find so beautiful is the fact that Jesus didn't heal just that one or maybe that one, but everyone that came to Jesus, he healed them. He healed them all. I want you to notice that again. He healed them all. Look at verse 18 and 19. It says, "And they who were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed." Then verse 19, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them." What does it say there? All. Jesus is able to heal you. You may come to a preacher, and that preacher will lay his hand on you, anoint you with oil, and sometimes that healing won't come. But a man is not your answer. God is your answer. You keep your faith in God, and God has promised to bring healing. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to move around a few of these scriptures in the Gospels. But I want you to notice that whenever they came to Jesus, no matter who they were, every one of them was healed. He didn't go and ignore one or pass by another. Everyone that came to him was healed. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24. And it says, "In his fame." Now, can you imagine? The word spreads quickly. It's one of the most powerful things for evangelism. For those missionaries that are out there ministering out there in the field, one of the most powerful drawing factors to the gospel of God is healing. Sometimes whole communities can be rocked, can be set aflame by the gospel when healing begins to occur. But the fame of Jesus went throughout all Syria. This is the area that there's a lot of stuff going on in the news even today. Syria needs healing, doesn't it? Think about what the world religions do that are not the gospel, that are not Christian. Think about all the destruction happening in those areas that are ruled by the Muslim religion. But whenever Jesus was around, Syria was hearing good news through Jesus Christ. Amen? It needs the gospel. Anyways, "And his fame went throughout all Syria," Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, "and they brought unto him all sick people who were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and even those that were lunatic." It's like those that were insane. "And those who had the palsy, and he healed them." They were all bringing, not only were they not, some of them were in need of healing, but they knew of people that were in need, and they brought them to Jesus, and the Bible says that Jesus healed them. I mean, some of these circumstances were well beyond even what the medical profession could do. But when they came and brought them to Jesus, Jesus healed them. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Just a few pages forward in your Bible. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. Matthew 12:15, it says, "But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew himself from thence, or from that place, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. What does it say there?
All.
He healed them all. That means no one was left out. Everyone that came to Jesus, Jesus healed them, and he healed them all. Multitudes of people came to him, and he healed them all. I want to go to one more section, and with this one we will stop. But go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And I want us to read verses 38 through 40. As we talk about Jesus, and to be honest with you, he is the fulfillment of Psalm 103, verse 3. Where he heals all of our diseases. Luke chapter 4 and verse 38 says this. Where are you, Luke? Do I have that wrong or what? 38. I said 48. Have mercy. Luke chapter 4 verse 38 says this. And he arose out of the synagogue, and he entered into Simon's house. This is Peter's house. And Simon's wife's mother, this was his mother-in-law, he came into his house, his mother-in-law was there, that's his wife's mother, and she was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. In other words, they said to Jesus, can you heal her? And he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So when she felt better, she said, let's get the tortillas, let's get it all ready, and let's hook up some food for them. They're here in my house. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, what about our mother-in-laws? They know how to cook, don't they? You know what? When we drive into Texas, and I go to my mother-in-law's house, man, she's got the tortillas, the rice, the beans, and the carne. And I'm telling you what, you're ready to eat. Forget Thanksgiving, man. We were eating when we got there on Wednesday afternoon. Amen? Amen! I'm telling you what, Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, she was ready to cook. She started feeling better. That fever was gone. He rebuked it. It left. And she got up ready to cook. And she got ready to, she ministered unto them. That means she began to treat them well with an evening meal. And then verse 40 says this, now, when the sun was setting, all they who had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And as you can see, beginning with Psalm 103 and the other scriptures that we have read through, you find that everyone that was brought to Jesus, whether they came of their own accord to him or they brought them to him, every one of them was healed. And I'm one of those old-fashioned believers. I'm an old-fashioned Pentecostal believer. I'm not an old man, per se. I mean, I'm getting white here and there. But I'm one of those old people on the inside that believe in the old-fashioned way. And I believe the scripture is still true today. That God is able to heal anyone that comes to Jesus if they will come to him by faith. Jesus is still the healer. Amen. There is no such thing in the kingdom of God as a divine healer. Just because they have a big name and seemingly have a healing ministry, that person is not a divine healer. The gift of healing may be operating in their services, but that man or that lady is not a healer. God is the healer. Amen. Amen. And so I'm here to tell you that although we live in the year of 2016, and here in the United States of America, where reason is beginning to infiltrate our communities, we're beginning to reason away the supernatural. We're beginning to say those things stop with the disciples. You know, there's those that are called cessationists. They say that all the gifts of the Spirit ceased with the apostles. But I'm here to tell you the Bible never said it's going to stop with the apostles. And I don't care even if it supposedly did. I believe that if you will come to Jesus, the healer, he will heal you. There was a young girl who was raised in one of the Muslim nations. And when she was born, she got sick and One of the sicknesses that she got caused her to grow lame. She was not able to walk anymore. And in her home, she was taught to believe in Muhammad. She was taught to believe in the Quran and in her Muslim faith. And this young girl, as she began to grow, wanted to be able to walk. And so she would tell her dad every time her dad would come to put her in. She was born into a wealthy family, but did you know all the money in the world can't bring healing to a body at times? And this young girl, as she was growing, began to question her father, and she'd say, "Daddy, is Muhammad able to heal me?" And he promised that if one day we're going to go and do the Hajj, we're going to go to Saudi Arabia, we're going to go into the area of Arabia, and we're going to go and do the whole thing where they circle around the black stone there in Mecca. And he said, "I'm sure that when we go there, Muhammad will heal you. Allah will heal you." And so eventually, as time would progress and she would ask her dad about healing, he said, "Well, Allah is able to do it." And so he took her to the Hajj, and as he carried her, as they encircle this shrine that has the black stone enshrined in, they walked around and did the Hajj, and eventually as they made their way to this black stone, who the Muslims believe that God gave to Abraham, they laid their hand on this black stone, and the little girl describes it in her book, the testimony that she wrote. She said, "We laid our hands on the rock, and the rock was cold. And when my dad and I touched this black stone, nothing happened." You see, she had gone there with hopes, high hopes, that God, that Allah would be able to heal her, that Muhammad would have something to do with her healing. But when they finally did the Hajj and they finally touched the rock, nothing happened. She's discouraged. And this little girl began to question her father and say, "Well, why couldn't Allah heal me? I thought you said Allah is able to heal a physical body. I thought you said Muhammad could do it." And so she began to cry and she began to question her own God, Allah, and say, "Why? Why?" And so she took up her Quran and she began to read the Quran. And she began to read in some of the Gospels about how there was a prophet named Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, whom they believe was a prophet. They just don't believe he was God, nor that he died for man's sin. They believe he was a great teacher, just a man. But she read in her Quran how that Isa, Jesus, had healed people. That Jesus had done what we just read about in the Gospels. That those that came to him were healed. And this little girl read that in her Quran and she began to say, "Well, if Muhammad couldn't do it and Allah didn't do it, well then I'm going to start praying to Isa, to Jesus." And so this little girl would begin to pray in her bed and she'd begin to say, "Isa, can you heal me? Can you heal my legs? I want to walk just like other little girls do." And she began to talk to him and say, "Heal my body." And as she began to talk to Isa, that's how they say Jesus in Arabic, by the way. That's what Isa, okay. She began to talk to Jesus, began to call out to him and said, "Can you heal me?" And one night, this little girl was in her bed and all of a sudden she woke up. And when she woke up, the room was brightly lit and she wondered, "What is going on?" And she looked around, and when she looked around, she saw 13 people in her room. And she thought, "What is going on here?" And she says, "I didn't know who the other 12 were, but I knew who the one that was talking to me was." And all of a sudden, she said, "Isa spoke to me. Jesus was in the room with his disciples. And Jesus told that little girl, get up and walk." And the little girl said, "I'm not able to walk. I've never walked. I got sick. I've been lame. I can't walk." And then Jesus said a little bit more forcefully, more with a command, "I said to rise up and walk." And the little girl, just believing in her heart with everything that was happening, well, let me get up. And so she rose up and she began to stick her little legs off of her bed. And all of a sudden she put them on the floor and she felt strength come into her bones. And all of a sudden there she was standing. And Jesus told her to walk around the room. And the little girl began to walk around the room, totally healed in her body, because Jesus healed her that night. And that little girl began to get so excited, and she told Jesus, "Thank you." And he told her, "I told you that I would heal you." And all of a sudden, they all left the room, they disappeared. And she stayed in the room running. She stayed in the room jumping. She was so excited because her little legs were healed by the power of God. There was no divine healer in the room. Just Jesus, the healer. There was no television evangelist saying, "Put your hands on the screen." There wasn't even a preacher nearby. But that little girl read in the Quran about Jesus, the healer. And she began to pray to him, and Jesus healed her that night. And the next morning, her dad, or actually her servant, one of the servants began to come around, and she was coming near her room, and she could hear little steps running around the room, jumping, just excitement in the room, and she began to wonder, what's going on in there? And so the servant knocked on the door and looked in, and the little girl was so happy, and she said, "Isa healed me. Isa healed me last night. Jesus and his disciples came into my room last night and I'm healed. Look at me." And she's running around the room. And the servant said, "Be quiet, be quiet. You don't want your father to hear you." And she's so excited she wouldn't stop. All she could say was, "Allah didn't heal me. Muhammad didn't do it, but Jesus did." Then, all of a sudden, her dad began to hear the commotion. Her dad came to the room and said, "What happened here?" With his stern voice, and she's so excited, she said, "Daddy, Daddy, Jesus healed me. Muhammad didn't heal me. Allah didn't, but Jesus. He came into my room last night with his disciples, and he told me to get out of my bed and walk, and I did, and here I am." And the man said, "You stop saying that. Don't talk about Jesus in this house. Allah healed you. Muhammad healed you, but not Jesus." And she said, "No, don't you remember? We went to the rock. We went there and Allah didn't do it. We talked, we prayed to Muhammad and nothing happened. But I began to pray to Isa in the Quran, the one that healed, and he healed me last night." And he, being a stern Muslim, said, "Don't talk about that name anymore. Because if you don't, I will have to disown you." But who could stop this little girl? She was walking. She was healed. And the father stayed upset. And he finally said, "I will disown you because you keep talking about this Jesus." He got her out of the house, packed a few little things and said, "I'm sorry, but you are not my daughter anymore." He didn't want to kill her. So he said, "Just leave." Gave her a little few things. Kicked her out of the house and she left. And then she said a prayer in her heart, "Well, Isa, you healed me. You healed my body. Now you're going to have to lead me and take care of me." And that little girl left the house and she began to walk down the street. And she made a turn around the corner. And she ended up in a Methodist mission. And in that mission, she began to hear about Jesus and began to be taught the gospel. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is your healer. And I'm not sure where you are or what you're in need of healing with. But you can't look at me as your healer because I can't do anything. I'm a human being. Amen? All I can do is what the scripture said in James. It says, "Call them to the front, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick." Amen? Obeying the scripture is what this Bible says to do. But Jesus is our healer. David brought out how that he heals all our diseases. And Jesus, when he came on the cross, he fulfilled everything necessary for salvation and for healing. Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 2 that by his stripes you were healed. And so I'm here to tell you that Jesus is our healer. And if you will come to Jesus and you will sincerely pray and you will sincerely talk to him about what you're in need of healing over or with, Jesus can heal you. Amen. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And whatever you're in need of healing with this morning, I'm here to tell you that if you will come to Jesus, he can heal you. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Jesus, our healer.